Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. Experts say the gut, known as the body's second brain, has an impact on all areas of a person's health. And when it is compromised, immunity, stress response, sleep, mood and hormones can all take a hit. Having a healthy gut also affects your mental health, weight, blood sugar and liver. To find out more on the subject, I spoke with Dr. Ken Redcross, author of Bond, the Four Cornerstones of a Lasting and Caring Relationship with Your Doctor, and founder of Red Cross Concierge, a personalized medical practice designed to enhance the patient-doctor relationship. Take a listen. Dr. Ken Redcross, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be back here with you.
Today we want to talk about a part of our body that is so important, but something we don't think a lot about. It's the gut. Our gut is so important, according to experts such as yourself. But as regular people, we don't really think about it. We eat anything we want, and sometimes we fall sick, and then at the end of the day, we realize that the gut plays such an important role. So tell us about that. Tell us about how big of a role does our gut play in our overall health.
Look, everyone, so, you know, there's a few things I want to leave you with, some pearls of wisdom, and one of the big ones I'll start off with now is to think about the importance of your gut and that microbiome. That's all the good bacteria in our body. But I want you to think about what that can really do for your health if you really have an idea of what you're putting into your body and avoiding in order to make sure you get the best health and healing. It starts with the gut, because we call the gut the second brain, because it actually is. We all know serotonin, right? Serotonin is a neurotransmitter in our brain, but guess what? It's primarily made in the gut. So that's that gut-brain axis, as well as our immune cells, Lenore. Most of our immune cells also come from the gut. So if we can remember just that little portion there, then it kind of makes us a little more mindful of how we think about gut health moving forward.
So then when it comes to gut health, what should we be mindful of?
Well, look, I think it's important to understand a word that you're hearing a lot in the news, if you haven't already, which is the microbiome. That is the importance of making sure that we have the good bacteria in our gut so that we can fight off that bad bacteria that tries to enter each and every day. But the thing to remember is that there's things that we do every day, like you mentioned, Lenore, that we sometimes take in foods that are very, very beneficial for our gut, and sometimes we take in foods that are really, really a problem for our gut. So let's be mindful of some of these things that we can touch on in a bit to make sure you have them in your cupboard and are avoiding the other ones in your cupboard or refrigerators.
So what are microbiomes and how do they affect the gut?
So when you think about the microbiome, everyone, that's the entire collection of the bacteria that we have in our gut or in our bodies. And once again, there is this war going on each and every day that you don't see, with the good bacteria trying to keep the bad bacteria at bay. And so it's important that when you're out there are some foods that can be a benefit, but it's also important that you really understand a good probiotic. Look, I am on the board of advisors for probiotics.com. So this is a big deal for me. So you should go there and get all the information that we're talking about today and understand. But the importance is that since there are so many probiotics, Lenore, I always get asked, what are some of the better ones? The ones that I always use as my go-to are the Chiodophilus line of probiotics. The reason why, everyone, is that the Chiodophilus line has what they call the friendly trio. It's these three probiotics that have been studied together. And they've been studied together, and that's a big deal, because there's a lot of strains that are studied one at a time, but the friendly trio all studied together with the benefits. There's even a big study with that friendly trio of how well it did for allergies. Allergies, yes, which are big here in New York in particular. So as you're learning more about probiotics and why we all should have one, let's recognize that there are some foods that we can utilize, but we usually need some sort of supplementation to really keep it robust and keep us fighting with these insults from bad bacteria all day.
So you mentioned probiotics, and we also hear about prebiotics. What is the difference, and how do each of them impact our health?
So look, so prebiotics, everyone, prebiotics are just what that is. It's beforehand, right? So the prebiotics are really pretty much food for the probiotics. So think about it. Some of the foods that we eat, that we can eat each and every day that are prebiotics, bananas. Bananas have inulin, which is a great fiber. It's a fiber that our body doesn't digest, but the bacteria in our gut loves it. That's a prebiotic. It gets them going, gets them revving to help fight. Also, green leafy vegetables, spinach, collard greens, green tea has polyphenols, very beneficial as prebiotics. So think about those sort of things, at least in our diet, that can kind of feed that probiotic to make them really strong and get them ready to go, almost as fertilizer. Now, I had already mentioned the Chiodophilus line of probiotics. They have something also called Pro Plus Synbiotic. And that's right to your point right there, Lenore. They have a prebiotic and a probiotic in the same formula. And it's really nice. And it also, of course, has the friendly trio. So you want to look at things that have studies behind them, everyone. That's my go-to, but you should also look online at probiotics.com and learn some of your go-tos and some things that fit you as well.
So you give us some example of prebiotics in terms of food. What about probiotics?
Well, probiotics tend to be a lot of the ones that are already there, such as yogurts in that way. Some people will talk about kombucha, which is kind of a prebiotic as well. But there's ways to make sure that you're incorporating all these into your diet and avoiding those things that make it worse, such as red meat. Red meat is not great for our microbiome or those good bacteria. People kind of pin me down and say, Dr. Rickhoff, I can't give up total red meat. I say, go to about 4 ounces and make sure if you're getting the red meat that it's at least lean so that you're not creating that reaction that's affecting your microbiome. Also, be careful of fried foods, whether that's fried fish, fried chicken. It's about that oil laying down on that beautiful microbiome that's fighting that bacteria. Can you imagine fighting something with oil all on your back and your head? And so you're not going to win that battle. So try to avoid that. Also, be careful with alcohol and also antibiotics. Now, Lord, you remember, we've known each other for years. You know I am on the natural side of healing.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of antibiotics unless we need them, but sometimes we do. But keep in mind, all of you out there, when you're seeing your doctor, you get that antibiotic for something that's necessary. You want to chase that with a probiotic as well to make sure that you're reseeding your gut with all of that good bacteria.
That's very interesting to know that there are some foods out there that we can use to really help in that sense. So now we have some ideas of probiotics that we should stay away from. What about what foods are best for the gut? I mean, you gave us some example of bad food, such as fried foods. What about good food, for example?
Well, look, so we talked a little bit, as I mentioned briefly, about bananas. And I mentioned a little bit about green leafy vegetables, but fermented foods are fabulous. Sauerkraut is a big one. I always get a big laugh here in Lenore because it depends on where I am. Some people will say sauerkraut, no, and then some people love it. I also like kimchi, which is a fermented food as well. Once again, everyone, these are these prebiotics. These are things that can help our lives and our health each and every day. The other thing is people will also ask me, so what other things such as grains, you know, barley, rye, wheat, those things are very beneficial. Also think about things such as nuts, pistachios. I'm a big pistachio fan because these are things that we take into our bodies. They don't fully digest, but it stays there as food for that probiotics or for those good bacteria in our gut. And so when you start thinking about this interplay each and every day, it becomes exciting for me because as a practicing internal medicine physician, I'm now able to share the fact that, look, we have something else that's new that can make a difference, that's closer to the earth, that's safe, whether it be the Chiodophilus line of probiotics, or if you want, like you mentioned, something that has a pro and a prebiotic, such as Pro Plus Synbiotic. Whatever it takes, make sure you're educating yourself. Probiotics.com is right there for all of us. Send questions. I love answering questions and making sure that we're all getting that this is kind of a new thing. Well, actually, it's not that new, Lenore. It's actually just being more found out or discussed in healthcare. So it's exciting.
A lot of people turn to supplements in general, and then when it comes to probiotics and everything, talk to us about supplements and in this landscape in terms of getting the right amount of probiotics and prebiotics.
You know, so it's like anything, Lenore. It's a balancing act, right? So I mentioned some food. So what you should think about, everyone, is taking some of those foods that we've talked about, whether it's a sauerkraut, bananas, what have you, and then think about learning about a good probiotic that can help support that as well. Look, I'm a big studies guy. That's why even though I'm on the advisory board for probiotics.com, my go-to is the Chiodophilus line because the data is there. I mean, you're talking about a company that's been there for over 30 years, over 20 clinical trials on their probiotics. So I want all of you to be equally versed, whether it be the Chiodophilus line or some other probiotics, so that you understand that this has been studied. Look for them to actually be studied together. That's the difference with this friendly trio that they call it. It's important. Bacteria or probiotics interact differently. So when I know that they've been together and they're synergistic or they all work together, it's a really big deal. So just think about it as balance. Think about how you can get it in your diet and balance it out with a really good probiotic as well.
Now, Dr. Redcross, you know, on a daily basis, people will have constipation sometimes, even diarrhea if you eat something, or even if you feel, you know, a certain way, you can have diarrhea. So there are these bowel movements that can change. But at what at what point does someone become concerned of gut health when you think about your gut not being in such good shape? When should we start being concerned?
That's a great question, because, you know, everyone kind of has their, they kind of know when they go and have to go. When that pattern starts to change, when the stool becomes more loose, or the flip side becomes harder and you really can't kind of figure out what's going on, this is what, where the sweet spot for probiotics are, everyone. Look, lots of times it's the fact that we don't have any diversity. Look, that's the importance when I talk about the Chiodophilus line or any of the other probiotics. They help the diversity of the microbiome. In other words, it kind of changes the picture in your colon and gut, which allows a lot of the good bacteria to say, hold on, I'm here to make sure that the bowel habits are better. I'm here to make sure that the stools are not hard. I'm here to make sure that this interplay with good and bad bacteria are not affecting your gut health in and of itself. So a probiotic helps for both of those things. There was a good study as well for those who had irritable bowel syndrome. And being able, now irritable bowel syndrome, everyone, can be diarrhea or constipation predominant. Also some studies with inflammatory bowel disease. Now, these are not treatments. Remember, these are supportive things to think about when you think about a good probiotic, whether you're marrying it with that food or you're marrying it with one of the probiotics that we've discussed. Or you may say, hey, doc, my life is busy. I need to look at Pro Plus Symbiotic. And because I know I'm not going to get enough prebiotic in, and I want something that's just easy, I take one and it's over. But the point is, when you're thinking about changing bowel habits, it's important to definitely bring a probiotic online, whichever one you like and that works for you, because all of our microbiomes are different. It's what makes us unique.
So I have two questions that I want to ask you for you to clarify whether they are myths or they are facts, right? Okay. Because there are things that we hear. So I have two for you. Now, is sleep important to gut health? Is it related to the gut? Is it a true or false?
Super, super, duper true. I know that wasn't one of your choices, but it is. It's super, duper true.
How
so? Everyone. So think about sleep. So sleep is intimately associated with our immune system. Once again, I already told you that most of our immune system is created and housed in our gut. So if you think about that, one sleepless night can throw off your immune system. How often have you been out with your friends, everyone? You're having a good time. You're at a party. You get home and you had an hour and a half of sleep. Think about, how does your gut feel? Your tummy hurts. You have loose stool. You don't feel yourself. And so sleep is important because we're supposed to be getting 7.5 hours each day. I know that's tough because our lives are a little different. But sleep is incredibly important. It's because of what it does for the immune system.
What about the gut health and allergies? We hear that they may be related. Is it true or false? Seasonal allergies and gut health.
This is also a super duper true. Look, so once again, when you look at studies, you know, I mentioned before that friendly trio that's in those Chiodophilus line of probiotics. They did a study, an NIH study, everyone. So the real deal, they did an NIH study, and the study showed that this friendly trio in particular was not only able to decrease the symptoms, runny nose, sneezing, but it improved the quality of life when the people were asked how they felt while they were on it. And so you're wondering, well, Dr. Redcross, what does that have to do with anything? Once again, those immune cells, everyone, end up creating histamines and things that we hear about all the time with allergies. So when you have the right probiotic that can kind of stamp that out, or the right combination, it makes a difference. So this was something that was even more exciting to offer to patients, because we have so many allergy issues here in the Northeast, in particular in New York, everyone. But it's once again something else that touts the importance of a good probiotic.
And before we wrap, Dr. Redcross, what are the main takeaways?
So look, everyone, so the main takeaways is that, you know, food is medicine. So there are some things that we could do by bringing in food that is medicine, and there's some things that we can do to keep it away. The other thing is to recognize that you're likely going to require a balance. You can't eat enough bananas and enough sauerkraut. I don't care how much you love it. You can't eat enough of them. So make sure that you get a good probiotic, whether you're educating yourself on probiotics.com or you look into the Chiodophilus line of probiotics that have that friendly trio. Remember, everyone, that friendly trio is about the studies behind it. Okay, so let's make sure that now we all are armed with something brand new to keep us healthy and to keep us whole.
Always keeping us healthy, Dr. Ken Redcross. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, guys. Take care. Reach out. Please say hello.
That was author and concierge Dr. Ken Redcross. You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It is time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. Pfizer has announced the launch of a new initiative and a call for a healthier world. The agreement aims to give Pfizer's patent-protected medicines and vaccines licensed in the United States or in the European Union on a non-profit basis to 45 low-income nations. They include medicines and vaccines for infectious diseases, certain cancers, and rare and inflammatory diseases. Rwanda, Ghana, Malawi, Senegal, and Uganda are the first five countries to kick off the initiative, which the company says will help guide the rollout for the remaining 40 countries. For more insights, I spoke with Angela Huang, a member of Pfizer's executive team and group president of the Pfizer Biopharmaceuticals Group. Take a listen.
There are sort of three grounding principles in terms of what we will do with all of our partners. Which is the governments and the countries, which is that Pfizer will make these medicines available at a non-for-profit price. Number two, we will work with governments to ensure that there is an expedited regulatory process to approve these products, right? Because without the approval, we can't get the products into the country. And that we will work with the countries to ensure that there's a secure way to deliver and to supply these products, because we want to make sure that the products get into the hands of the patients for whom the government believes these products should go. The 23 products that are initially part of this is because actually today we happen to have 23 innovative products. As we launch products, which we do every single year, those products will automatically roll into this initiative. So Paxlovid is our oral antiviral pill to treat COVID-19 that was just approved actually in the U.S., in December of 2021. So that's one of the products, and it's a great example. I will use another one. Ibrance is a breast cancer medicine, specifically for metastatic breast cancer. We know that breast cancer is a disease of great concern in the developing world, and so we want to make this groundbreaking medicine available. I think another part of this initiative, which we haven't spoken about, is that we don't believe our job ends by just dropping the medicine off. Distribution and supply is only part of the issue. The larger issue actually is the availability of infrastructure, the right healthcare systems to help patients actually get the medicines. So a big part of rolling out this initiative is also a commitment from Pfizer to really support the identification of the infrastructural needs in the various countries.
To what extent will countries be afforded the opportunity to select medicines and vaccines according to their local needs and priorities?
That is the expected outcome, is that countries will then tell us which are more important to them, and that's how we will deliver them and also work with them to ensure that the medicines are used.
What sorts of collaboration should be anticipated with African scientists and experts on the ground?
If this is something that the country would like, then we can engage. We believe that this partnership is driven off of what the country would like, not just in terms of medicine, but also in terms of maybe potential research partnerships.
Pfizer have been around for a long time. Why now? Why was it important to launch such an initiative at this moment, over 2 years after the COVID pandemic?
What really, I think, mobilized us, you know, much more clearly is the fact that we learned from the pandemic that supply was just not enough. There is abundant supply of the vaccine, yet we're not seeing vaccinations at the rates that we hope. Distribution and supply is insufficient to solve the problem. What we need is to ensure that there is an infrastructure that's built in that will allow the country and the patients to actually receive the products and then be able to get it. And we're asking for other companies, for other NGOs, for other financial or professional medical institutions to really help us in these countries to create the infrastructure and the capacity that's going to be required so that patients can actually use these drugs.
How is it going to change the dynamic with regards to access to the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine is already available through, you know, a number of different venues. So that's not going to change. Countries have the choice of what they would like to pick from our 23 patented medicines.
5 African countries have been selected to kick off the initiative on the continent: Rwanda, Ghana, Malawi, Senegal, and Uganda. How were they selected, and what role will country play in the implementation of the program?
These countries really stepped forward and really demonstrated, you know, their desire to work with us. The reason why these 5 are important is because we can't just drop the medicines off. We actually need to really work through what are the systemic barriers that are preventing people from either being diagnosed appropriately or being able to access. And it's going to look different across these 5 countries. And to really create a playbook, the idea is that we will engage with all 45 of them.
That was Angela Wang, Group President of the Pfizer Biopharmaceutical Group. Health experts say that counterfeit medical products continue to present a public health safety risk, especially in low and middle income countries. In Nigeria, one woman will always be remembered for having led the crusade against counterfeit drugs, taking on fraudulent drug manufacturers and suppliers. Dr. Dora Akunyili, who passed away in 2014, served as the Director General of Nigeria's National Agency for Food and Drug Administration and Control. In a new memoir titled I Am Because We Are, An African Mother's Fight for the Soul of a Nation, her daughter Chidiogo Akunyili keeps her mother's legacy alive. Chidiogo spoke with VOA's Jackson Vungani.
It's a philosophy that I feel is a key to the future that we're looking to usher in. It's all about community. It's about understanding that not only everybody matters, but it's really important that we take care of each other because there's an interdependency. So taking care of another is taking care of self. And it's not even just humans, taking care of the environment, taking care of everything around us. So I feel that this is something that rings so true to us. And it happens to be as Africans, in this case, and is an African humanist philosophy, and something that we have a familiarity with, but there's been a lot of erosion of that. And my mother's life, in many ways, was inviting us to reclaim the truth of this.
And how were you able to successfully channel the voice of your mother in this book? You know, part of it feels like she was indeed telling her own story in the first person. Why was it important that we hear Professor Akunyili's voice in the first person? And did she know that you would actually be writing this book at some point? Had you spoken to her before she passed?
No, not at all. My mother passed in 2014 and it had not even crossed my mind, let alone was able to share with her. In life, she had written a book on her work as the Director General of NAFDAC, but it was a very, very academic book, so to say. There is no story of her life. And I felt that was really something that, you know, when you touch millions, there's something about your life that needs to be shared. So with that being said, how did I connect with you writing in her voice? I share in the book how the inspiration to write her book, came to me after she passed, almost like a whisper of an inspiration that I caught right away. And the whisper was right in my voice, right? And I kind of dismissed that because I thought, first of all, I could never do that. My mother's different sound, different personality. So I wrote the entire book in third person, telling you my mother's story. At some point, I was like my mother, and at some point my Dora, and this. And then it was always this distance between the reader and my mother. And I felt that's not the essence of her. Her whole power is that you could feel her. She walks in and you're like, who is that woman? You know, there's something about her. And I wanted that to come across in the book. So writing in first person was a journey. And eventually when that happened and I stepped into my mother telling you her story, it felt right, because then you could start feeling into this woman that I wanted to introduce to the world, or reintroduce to so many who might have thought they knew her, but there was so much more to her than what anyone else might, what even I thought I knew. And it's writing it itself has been a discovery.
That was author Chidiogo Akunili speaking with VOA's Jackson Vuganyi.
The arrival of the pandemic has intensified feelings of loneliness and social isolation for millions of older people, many of whom were already battling depression and other health issues. For those struggling, a robot companion might make a difference, and states like New York are starting to provide them to residents free of charge. VOA's Julie Talbot has more.
Eliquu, can we have coffee?
I like that idea.
David Kelly is about to enjoy his morning coffee with Eliquu, his robot companion.
Where in the virtual world do we want to go?
Paris.
Magnifique. Sit back and enjoy the sights and sounds.
Each morning, Eliquu takes David on a virtual visit to a different cafe around the world. Just one of the perks of living with an assistive robot. It was a gift to David from his partner, Greg Allen.
I wasn't a really big fan at first, although he let me think he was.
When do you think you'll return?
Once I started interacting with her, it was like she was amazing.
With artificial intelligence, built-in sensors, and voice controls, Eliquu is among a new class of robots that experts say are going to play an increasingly important role in the lives of older adults. Andra Kay is the managing director of Silicon Valley Robotics and a robot ecosystem expert. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
There simply haven't been robots that have been sophisticated enough to be ready to be used by real people. And we're finally seeing robots that are able to be deployed in the real world with real people.
Eliquu.
In addition to coffee time, Eliquu does a daily health assessment.
Can you tell me what blood glucose reading you got today?
176.
Got it. I'll jot it down.
Eliquu also helps to keep David's mind sharp with brain teasers.
In Charlotte's Web, what type of animal is Charlotte?
A spider.
And inspirational words.
Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
And images.
Tell me about this picture.
David says Eliquu even provides some emotional comfort, reminding him of his sister who died 9 years ago.
Eliquu came in and her voice reminds me of my sister. It just makes me feel good that, you know, it's that connection that I had with my sister.
Hey, Timmy, go to the office.
There are other assistive robots in the Allen Kelly household.
Hey, Jibo, how are you feeling today?
I'm on top of the world.
But none, they say, are quite like Eliquu, who is programmed for empathy. Dor Schooler is the co-founder and CEO of Intuition Robotics, the maker of Eliquu. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
For an AI to truly help humans, it needs to project empathy. It needs to be on the journey with them. Our customers don't refer to Eliquu as a device or as a product. They refer to Eliquu as a companion, a roommate, a character, or a presence in their lives.
Let's have some fun, David.
That appears to be the case in this home.
She has joined the two of us closer than we were before.
I can't imagine now being without her.
I'm glad we had this talk, David. I'm always here to listen.
Eliquu, thank you.
Julie Tabo, VOA News, North Chesterfield, Virginia.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For the latest news and coverage on the coronavirus pandemic, visit voanews.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington, with producer Dan Brown. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.